Hare Krishna. I welcome everyone today. Yesterday, we began our festival of Julan Yatra, wherein the devotees spent so much of their dedicated energies to create a very extraordinary environment for Sri Sri Radha Gopijana Vallabha to be enjoying their swing festival in the presence of the assembly of devotees. Materialistic people, they spend so much time, energy, and money building a house for themselves, going on holidays, creating big businesses, creating political alliances, opening major sports stadiums. All within the realm of Maya or material energy. Because nothing that they do can give even a drop of pleasure to the eternal soul. We are not these bodies. We are the eternal spirit soul. This is a very fundamental philosophical principle which every devotee has heard so many times. It's almost as if you're going back to nursery school every day when you hear it. But the reality is to understand it as postgraduate. Because when you no longer have any desire for material enjoyment, Krishna manifests himself in your heart, and you have perfect perception of his darshan. So yes, the whole world is mad after spending tremendous resources for industry, for wealth, for power, all with the promise of enjoyment. But unfortunately, due to avidya, or ignorance, they do not understand that none of it gives them enjoyment. The body, the mind, may be experiencing some temporary pleasures. But what are those pleasures? Actually, they're just different energy currents just interacting with one another. That's all. There's no actual reality to it. You touch something, there's some interaction of chemicals and that between the object of touch and the skin, and it creates a certain type of signal that goes to the mind, and then the mind, in its desperation to find pleasure, interprets it as pleasure or pain or happiness or distress. But the soul, its only pleasure is in its connection with the reservoir of all pleasure. Akila Rasamritas Murti Krishna. So devotees, they spend so many hours making these banyan trees and creating these beautiful decorations and making wonderful outfits or garments for the deities, beautiful flowers, because it gives pleasure to the soul. It satisfies God. Bhagavatam declares when you offer water to the root of the tree, the entire tree is satisfied. Real happiness is in pleasing Krishna. Trying to enjoy separate from Krishna is the cause of all problems and sufferings. In fact, it is the only problem. Bhagavatam declares, the only problem is an uncontrolled mind. When the mind is seeking happiness outside of Krishna, through the senses, through the ego, every problem in the world, every suffering in the world is born only of that, individually and collectively. But the mind needs pleasure. Therefore, the Lord comes to teach us what real happiness is. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is satisfied. When Krishna is pleased, that is the only success in life. If Krishna is not pleased by our words, by our actions, by our thoughts, we failed. It doesn't matter if we win elections. Doesn't matter if we win the World Cup, whatever that may be. It doesn't matter if you are the most powerful, wealthy philanthropist in the entire creation. If Krishna is not pleased, you failed. You've done nothing for yourself, the eternal soul. So therefore, these wonderful festivals are so nice. Devotees work so hard to make beautiful arrangements for Krishna. Sometimes very small things. Sometimes things that you don't even notice. We have so many of our congregational ladies who cook the bhoga offerings for the deities every day. How many of you know what they cook or who cooks it every day? Raise your hands. Nobody knows. Krishna doesn't have to raise his hand. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, in the role of devotees, they are raising both their hands. It is a reality. There's no air conditioning in that kitchen. In the summer, it's very hot. Not only is the heat outside, but then there's all fires burning inside, and there's a room full of ladies, and they don't get paid even one paisa. And they're cooking for so many hours. So many preparations. And except the pujari, nobody even knows what's on the plate. And after the pujari, nobody even knows what happens to it. Why? They're working so hard. They're not becoming wealthy with money. There's no newspaper articles about them. But they're pleasing Krishna. If what we do, nobody knows about it except Krishna, that's wonderful. If Krishna wants others to know, that's for him to decide. But it shouldn't be for us to tell others. We're doing it for Krishna. We're doing it for the Vaishnavas. We're not doing it for adoration, distinction, prestige. Because as soon as our desires to serve Krishna are mixed with personal sense gratification, desire for prestige, or even liberation from suffering, it's mixed devotion. It's not pure devotion. Pure devotion is especially for the pleasure of the Lord. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. This was the principle that more than any other person in the history of this creation established within this world. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmanya namitam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhakti uttamam. What is pure devotional service? It is without any consideration for one's own personal sense gratification. That is karmakanda. Or when it is mixed in devotional service, it is karma mishra bhakti. I'm serving, but I'm also endeavoring with the aspiration to gain something material from it. I may get a position. I may get popularity. I may get money out of it. We have to be very careful not to allow these desires to corrupt, to pollute our bhakti. Desire for mystic perfections must be rejected. People are very much attracted to mystics who can heal the sick, who can bless you and give you wealth, who could read your mind, who could walk on water or fly in the air. How many of you would like to do those things? Instead of waiting in line at the airport, you just chant a mantra and you're in London. Or for those of whom are pious, you chant mantra and you're on the top of Tirupati Hill, Tirumala. It's very attractive. To want that is a diversion from pure devotional service. Even to desire liberation, mukti, which for most persons, even in India, that is conceived as the highest goal of life, mukti. This is a world of suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. Adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhautika. We have diseases. We have mental anxieties. We have injuries. We have inconveniences. Too much heat, too much cold. It's all the miseries of the body. Nobody likes. Massive technologies just to counteract the miseries of the body. Miseries caused by natural disturbances, tsunamis, earthquakes, monsoon floods, too much heat, too much cold, and miseries caused by others. Living with a husband or a wife, you made vows. I have to stay with you. It's very difficult. miseries of terrorists, miseries of competitors, miseries of envious people, miseries of people you have to share the floor with in the ashram. Many difficulties. Who doesn't want liberation? Only one person, a pure devotee. A pure devotee doesn't care whether he or she suffers or not. A pure devotee wants Krishna's happiness. The gopis, they volunteered, take the dust of our feet, give to Krishna. Go to hell, doesn't matter if Krishna's happy. Now read the fifth canto, what hell is like. It's not just, you know, go to hell. We take it cheaply. The fifth canto gives good description. The gopis understand all these principles. They're willing to go to any one of those places if it gives pleasure to Krishna. This is the principle that Sri Rupa Goswami has given us. Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti. That Sri Rupa Goswami, he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to perfectly understand his heart. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Radha and Krishna have appeared in this form of Lord Chaitanya to give the highest spiritual ecstasy, the highest transcendental attainment that has never been given freely in this world in all of history. Radha and Krishna gave Braj Bhakti only to a very select few who are absolutely purified. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna giving that same Braj Bhakti even to the sinners, even to the Malechas and Yavanas, even to the atheists, if they're simply willing to accept it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was supremely merciful. But also, he was Krishna experiencing the love of Radharani. Rupa Goswami perfectly understood the depth of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the depth of his love. He understood the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya empowered him specifically. To present this to the world. We cannot understand Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Rupa Goswami. That is Lord Chaitanya's own arrangement. You cannot be a follower of Lord Chaitanya without being a Rupanuga, which means one who follows in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. And all of our acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami is their all in all. He is the acharya of our Sampradaya by Lord Chaitanya's own selection. And it is for this reason that Lord Chaitanya personally arranged for His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to have those two rooms at Sri Radha Damodar Temple. Where Srila Prabhupada was staying, if you examine his rooms, he was closer than any person in the entire Earth planet to Rupa Goswami's samadhi. Even the Goswamis at Radha Damodar didn't live so close to the samadhi. He was right there, residing at the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami, in the temple of Rupa Goswami's principal disciple, Srila Jiva Goswami. To prepare himself to do the will of Lord Chaitanya. We know Sri Rupa Goswami was a very, very wealthy and successful grihastha. He was a very high-ranking minister for the king. He's a multimillionaire. Very young, very beautiful. He had everything. Had everything. Every luxury, every type of protection, security. But we read in the holy shastras, specifically Bhakti Ratnakar, what his qualities were. He was always longing to serve the Vaishnavas, always longing to be merciful to others. He was a super excellent householder. Srila Prabhupada, as a Rupa Nuga, was also a perfect grihastha. Srila Prabhupada had wife and children before he even met his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But then although, like Rupa Goswami, performing his duties very, very responsibly, it was always in the spirit of service to his guru. Always helping in Gaudiya Math, always assisting his godbrothers in every way. Example is in Bombay. When Srila Prabhupada was living here, he was going out with his loving sannyasi godbrothers, preaching with them, collecting funds with them. He opened a temple with them, brought his Guru Maharaj here to establish deities. It was wonderful, very successful. Yes, although he was earning and taking care of his family very responsibly, his sadhana, his service to the mission, his reaching out to help others, the greatest charity, was always in the focus of his life. Rupa Nuga. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated to Rupa Goswami, you should renounce your household life and dedicate your full energies to my mission, he left everything. None of you can do what he did. Srila Prabhupada explained he had so much gold in storage that was his, he could fill a boat with it. I'm sure not a single person here could fill a rickshaw with your gold. He filled a boat with gold and wealth. And he didn't take anything with him. He gave it all away. Amazing. He gave half to the Vaishnavas and Brahmins to spread God consciousness. He gave one-fourth to his family members so that they would be stable and secure. And he gave one-fourth for emergencies. Most of that went to help Sanatan Goswami in his emergency. And he left everything. He became a sannyasi to help with the Lord's mission. The song that we just sang described his devotion. He was a mandalapati. He was a top politician, a very powerful, wealthy, popular man, such a scholar. He knew Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian. He may have known English too, I don't know. He would know any language he wanted. There was no need for English in those days. But he gave it all up to live under trees, wearing discarded cloth as kopan, begging alms. For the mission of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was Rupa Nuga. He followed in his footsteps. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Rupa Goswami the order, and in Parampara, Lord Chaitanya through Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur gave Prabhupada the order. Srila Prabhupada gave up everything. And like Rupa Goswami, went to Vrindavan. In fact, became Rupa Goswami's next-door neighbor in Radha Damodar Temple. For the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami is known as that person who understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya. That was revealed when Rupa Goswami was living in Sri Jagannath Puri. During the Rath Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in the parade with all the millions of people. But he was something very different. He wasn't simply attending Rath Yatra. He was in Kurukshetra. In the mood of Radharani, after years of separation from Krishna, begging and pleading with Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. That was his mood. He was in the spirit of the highest essence of conjugal ras, madhurya ras, during this Rath Yatra. And he was at certain times in such ecstasy that he was simply Radharani speaking to Krishna in the form of Jagannath. And nobody could understand what he was saying. He was quoting love songs. Yes? Lord Chaitanya is singing these poems of a lover to a beloved. No mention of Krishna. But Rupa Goswami understood perfectly what he was saying. I am the same Radha, you are the same Krishna. These are the same moonlit nights, the spring season. But I want to bring you back to Vrindavan. I do not want to see you without your peacock feather. I do not want to see you in the garb of a king. Just come back and be a playful cowherd boy again. But the nature of Radharani's love is, why was she begging Lord Jagannath to come back to Vrindavan? She presented it that her heart was broken, that everyone else's heart was broken. Because she knew that that would gain the sympathy of Krishna. But her actual motive was only one. She knew that Krishna is happier in Vrindavan. And her only motive in life was Krishna's happiness. She could endure any suffering, any separation, anything, if Krishna's happy. So as Lord Chaitanya was singing these mysterious songs, Rupa Goswami, he wrote that purport to the song on a palm leaf and put it on the thatched roof of the kutir of Haridas Thakur, where he was staying. Because we know Rupa Goswami, although a Saraswat Brahmin by caste, he was excommunicated from Hindu society because he was serving a Malaycha king. And he didn't try to retaliate. The amazing thing, Rupa Goswami never went into the Jagannath temple, nor did Sanatan Goswami or Haridas Thakur. The only chance they ever got to see Jagannath was Rath Yatra. And when Jagannath went to Gundicha, they couldn't go in. They wouldn't go in. This was his humility. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and read that verse, he exclaimed to Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, how is it that Rupa Goswami, in this one verse, has perfectly comprehended the essence of what's in my heart? The deepest, most profound mystery in all of existence is God's heart. Yes? It's difficult enough to understand what's in our own mind. Nobody can understand what's in their own mind. What to speak of what's in the mind of another? Yes? Who can understand what's in the mind of the absolute truth, the controller of all controllers, the person who knows everything at all times? Radhe Shyam Prabhu gave a brilliant class this morning. Krishna knows everything. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows every living being. All the living entities of all species of life, in all universes, in all the material existence and spiritual existence, Krishna knows your every thought. Personally, this is his potency. He can know the thought, every single thought that's just flashing in your uncontrolled mind. Every single thing that you ever see, that you ever say, every sensual experience you have, Krishna knows it. And not only that, but he knows every thought you've ever had in every previous life. And he never forgets a single thought.
Hare Krishna.
He told Arjuna, you don't remember. In a previous life, we were discussing Bhagavad Gita together. I remember, you don't remember. Krishna remembers everything as the Paramatma. He knows everything happening. He doesn't have to watch the news at night. He doesn't need a newspaper. He knows everything, everywhere. And he never forgets. And the most amazing thing, although he knows every thought, every desire, every word, and every action of every living being, to every being, it's not just like a computer taking in data. He understands your situation, your everything, intimately, with thorough love. That is Krishna. Who can understand the mind of God? Everything that's spoken in the scriptures is only like a drop of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Yes? Even the greatest acharyas have explained. All we can do is take one drop from the ocean and try to explain that. But Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, said to Swarup Damodar, "This person understands my heart perfectly. How is that possible?" Now, he couldn't discuss this with anyone except Swarup Damodar Goswami, because Swarup Damodar Goswami understood the Lord's heart perfectly. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami was so blissful. In his reply, he said, "My Lord, it is because you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. There is no other way." That speaks everything. We can never know God as he is by any other means except receiving the mercy of the Lord. Not by scholarship, not by good memory, not by tapasya, not by charity. All of these things, if they are done in a spirit of pleasing the Lord, then the Lord, by his own independent free will, he is the supreme autocrat. He can give his mercy to who he wants, when he wants. But only by that mercy can we know him. Only by that mercy we can love him. Lord Chaitanya answered Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Yes, it is true. I have given my complete mercy to Rupa Goswami." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to demonstrate it to all of his devotees for all time to come. He especially brought his most intimate high-ranking associates to Haridas Thakur's kutir, so that everyone could examine Rupa Goswami's writings. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was asking Rupa Goswami to read his compositions. Rupa Goswami was very shy, because devotees like to glorify others. They like to glorify Krishna, but they're not inclined to glorify themselves. But ultimately, he was urged to do so because it would please the Lord. And Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Haridas Thakur, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, such stalwart, highly realized souls, they all proclaimed that Rupa Goswami is revealing the intimate messages of Lord Chaitanya perfectly, like no one else could do. And they all came to that same conclusion, that Lord Chaitanya has bestowed his complete mercy on him. And Lord Chaitanya said yes. When I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, and before that at Ramkeli, his humility, his simplicity, his humility, his devotion melted my heart. Therefore, I have bestowed my complete mercy on him so that he understands my heart completely. It was at the Dasashvamedha Ghat in Prayag that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And with that embrace, he actually transferred his heart, the content of his heart, into Rupa Goswami's heart. Therefore, all followers of Lord Chaitanya are manifesting their devotion by following in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he understood his guru's heart so perfectly. When he wrote that Vyas Puja, homage to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, there was a particular verse, absolute essentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took that verse with him and read it to others, just as Lord Chaitanya would read that palm leaf that Rupa Goswami read to others. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of his guru. Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his parampara. In other words, Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of Rupa Goswami and his guru, who was a great Rupanuga. At the time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had many powerful scholars, sannyasis from Brahmin families who dedicated their lives, their souls, or everything for him. Srila Prabhupada was a simple grihastha then. But yet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he revealed that Srila Prabhupada understood the essence of his heart and his mission perfectly. What was his quality? That spirit of humility and surrender. Lord Chaitanya then instructed Rupa and Sanatan to go to Vrindavan. And he gave them many instructions, but four are very primary. To establish temples and deity worship. To write books, extracting from the Vedic literatures the essence of pure unalloyed devotional service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. That's the highest aspiration. And to present it scientifically, logically, philosophically, so it would be convincing even to the most developed minds and intelligence. Not just presented it as a sentimental religion, but as the most profound philosophical science. Based on authority. And to reveal the holy places of Vrindavan for the benefit of the people of this world. And the fourth principle was by their exemplary lives to teach by their example what a true Vaishnava is, and in their case, especially those in the renounced order. Rupa Goswami did that. He left everything to go to Vrindavan. There were six Goswamis. A moon is worth a million stars. Yes? There may be ashrams with 1,000 brahmacharis or 10,000 sannyasis. But Lord Chaitanya had these six Goswamis. Six isn't a lot. But the power of each one of them, the humility, the surrender, the knowledge, the devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu empowered each of those six Goswamis. Indescribably. And yes, in a jungle where there was nothing. If you want to build a temple here in Bombay, there's so many construction firms. What was in Vrindavan? It was a simple forest. They already gave away all their money. They had nothing. They were sleeping under trees. How were they going to build temples? But by their dedication to Lord Chaitanya's desire, Rupa Goswami built Govindaji Mandir, the most magnificent temple in the history of North India. Madan Mohan Mandir, Radha Gopinath, Radha Raman, Radha Damodar, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Shyam Sundar. Fantastic temples were built by the Goswamis and their associates. And they established deity worship. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and their writings, Gopal Bhatta Goswami as well, they explain so scientifically how to worship the deity, how to perform festivals, how to prepare the food and make the offering, how to dress them, how to sing kirtans for them. Every aspect of deity worship is very, very systematically described. It's Lord Chaitanya's wish. Srila Prabhupada is Rupanuga. He understood. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Rupan Sanatan to Vrindavan to establish temples, it was ultimately for the whole world. Lord Chaitanya gave the order every town and village should be chanting the names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is a Rupanuga. He also had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just like Rupa Goswami. How do you build a temple when you have nothing? Jaladuta. At 40 rupees. But he came back to Vrindavan and built Sri Krishna Balaram Temple, which is today perhaps the most popular temple in all of Vrindavan. Banki Bihari Ji and Krishna Balaram have been the most popular temples in Vrindavan since it was built. But not only that, Srila Prabhupada established temples and deity worship and the scientific standards of deity worship all over the world. In every major city of America, practically, Europe, Australia. He established temples and deities in Africa. his followers, on his order, are building temples in Russia, Eastern Europe, China. The mission of Rupa Goswami that Lord Chaitanya gave him, Srila Prabhupada has accepted it as his life and soul. Also, the writing of books. Rupa Goswami, that was his very, very special empowerment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke extensively for 2 months to Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi, for 10 days to Rupa Goswami in Prayag. He spoke to Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many great scholars. But he only wrote with his hands 8 verses, the Shikshastakam. Now, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could write like nobody else could write. Yes? There is no computer that man will ever invent that could create data faster than the hand of the Lord if he wants to write. Yes? But he didn't. He wrote 8 verses. He especially commissioned Rupa Goswami to put it in writing for all time to come, what his teachings were. And he wrote in beautiful Sanskrit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was empowering him. But the greatest pleasure of the Lord is to see the beautiful things that someone is doing on his behalf. Isn't that an amazing relationship? It's like a puppeteer finding the greatest pleasure in what the puppet does. Not even thinking that I'm doing it through him. Krishna is eternally grateful for a devotee who just allows him to do something through that devotee. Krishna's conquered by you if you just allow him to do something through you. He's the doer. All you can do is be an instrument. All you could do is just submit and let him do. And that will give him the greatest pleasure. When Lord Chaitanya saw Rupa Goswami's handwriting, before he even read the content, just seeing the handwriting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He was beside himself in joy. Just see the handwriting of Sri Rupa Goswami. It is like rows of precious pearls. Each letter was a priceless jewel. Not only in its form, but in the content of the spiritual emotion in which it was written. And the content was revealing the heart of the Lord to the world. Rupanuga means we accept the writings of Rupa Goswami as our ultimate guide, because they are perfectly revealing the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic scriptures. Srila Prabhupada, like Rupa Goswami, was given the order by his guru. If ever you get money, print books. Distribute books. Srila Prabhupada would say, I follow this teaching of my guru blindly. Can you imagine? Here he was, living in a loft in the Bowery, New York City ghetto, with no followers, no supporters, nobody even taking interest. And yet, he was writing. When he first started 26 Second Avenue, a little storefront in the Lower East Side, Hayagriva Prabhu was one of the first people who actually came to take interest in the Hare Krishna movement. And when he told Srila Prabhupada that he was an English professor, Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, would you like to help me with some editing?" Hayagriva said, "Oh, of course." He's a 71-year-old sadhu with no followers, living in a ghetto situation, no help, nothing. He probably was expecting to edit a letter he was writing to someone in India. Srila Prabhupada opened up trunks of manuscripts. He gave him manuscripts, mountains of manuscripts, tied together with ropes, all handwritten or typed privately by Prabhupada. And he gave him bundles of manuscripts, years of work, out of just one trunk. And he told Hayagriva, "You can start with this. And when you complete it, I have so much more." Who was he writing for? Was anything ever going to get printed? He had those three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam printed in Delhi. And when he went to America, none of it was paid for yet. The printers in Delhi were still waiting. He hadn't even paid for the paper yet. Everything was just debts. And he didn't have any market yet. India didn't sell. And nothing was, he sold one to the captain of the ship. He sent one. Sally Agarwal and Gopal, they didn't even buy his books. It was very difficult. But yet, he was writing and writing and writing volumes and volumes of volumes. He was writing other cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was writing teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He was writing Sri Upanishad. He was writing Easy Journey to Other Planets. He was writing an entire Bhagavad Gita. Everything. He said, "I'm following my guru's order blindly." In English. Why? To reveal the heart of Rupa Goswami's teachings to the world. And there was nothing that pleased Prabhupada more than seeing his books being translated into other languages. Sometimes he would weep, he would rejoice when a book would be written, translated in German or French or Russian or Spanish or Hungarian or Swahili. Almost every major language of the world, Srila Prabhupada's books have been translated. Simply because he so perfectly followed in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. And another principle that Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami is to excavate the holy places of Vrindavan so people will come and benefit from the holy dham. And Rupa Goswami did that with nothing. Srila Prabhupada is a Rupanuga. How he took that instruction and fulfilled it to such an extraordinary degree. Yes, Rupa and Sanatan, they discovered the places. But they empowered Srila Prabhupada to bring millions of people from all over the world to Vrindavan to gain pure love of God in those places. empowered by Sri Rupa Goswami, how Srila Prabhupada, more than anyone else, has revealed the holy Dham to the entire world. And the fourth principle, to show by his example. Rupa and Sanatan, their example was extraordinary, beyond human. You cannot imitate, but you could understand, this is the standard. It's so high above my head, but this is what I must strive to live with. This is the direction I should always be going. Raghunath Das Goswami, eating a spoonful of buttermilk a day, sleeping an hour and a half, the most, a day. He was also from such a fabulously wealthy family. But he was always in the highest joy, always eager to give what he had to others. This was the principle of the six Goswamis. They were the wealthiest men that ever lived on earth because they had the treasure of prema bhakti. And they wanted para upakar. They wanted to perform the supreme welfare work by giving that treasure to others. And the principles they lived by were so impeccable. Srila Prabhupada, as a Rupanuga, he also lived such a life, so absolutely pure in every way, so absolutely absorbed in Krishna at every moment, satisfied in any situation as long as he could do his service. Yes. The same principle can be applied according to time, place, and circumstance. Rupa Goswami was living under trees in Vrindavan in the winter. Srila Prabhupada was living on the Jaladuta in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It's the same principle of being willing to give up, sacrifice everything for the mission of the Lord. What an example. But Srila Prabhupada gave all of us, all of his followers, for all time to come, an instruction. And to the degree we take that instruction to heart, we will receive mercy, the most precious gift of the Lord. Prabhupada gave many instructions, but today I'm going to focus on one in particular. Srila Prabhupada said, "Do as I am doing." That means become a Rupanuga. Srila Prabhupada would never, ever, ever think that he is anything but a speck of dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami. In fact, that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, one of his last instructions to all of his disciples. Don't desire anything of this mundane world. The only thing we want is to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. That is our ultimate aspiration. That is our exclusive goal, to be a speck of dust at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath. But what can that speck of dust do? Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that. What a speck of dust could do. If you want to be a great man, you're not going to amount to anything spiritually. And that holds true with ladies
also.
But if you want to be a speck of dust at the feet of the great souls, you can do incredible miracles within this world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave that order. Do not desire anything but to be a speck of dust in the feet of Rupa and Raghunath. Srila Prabhupada made that order his life and soul, and see what has come out of that speck of dust. The largest selling Bhagavad Gita publication in the history of the world. In more languages than any other publication in the history of the world. He has established more temples of Radha and Krishna than anyone else in the history of the world. He has brought more people to Vrindavan than anyone else in the history of the world, as far as people from all over the planet. Because he had this aspiration. Let me be a speck of dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami. Krishna exalts those who are humble. And Krishna humbles those who try to exalt themselves. That is spiritual logic. But it is a reality. When Srila Prabhupada said, do as I am doing, that doesn't mean we should try to be Srila Prabhupada's, or we should be Rupa Goswami's. We should simply pray and long to be a speck of dust at the feet of Srila Prabhupada, this extraordinary Rupa Nuga. And if that is our intention, by following in his footsteps, by trying to live according to the values that he held sacred in his life, then we can be instruments of that mercy. Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to be pure. He wanted us to be pure in our morality as a Rupa Nuga. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And although Srila Prabhupada was unlimitedly forgiving and tolerant to those who were not able to make the mark, he was uncompromising in the principle. Because if he compromised the principle, no one would go back to Godhead. I had seen some of my godbrothers who have fallen into abominable conditions, and Prabhupada would just embrace them with tears and just, come back and do some service, please. You're forgiven. That's just extraordinary mercy to save someone who's really, really in a fallen condition. But that was not his will. He was uncompromising in his will. I was sitting just about 10 feet from his lotus feet when a devotee asked a question. Srila Prabhupada, what if a person is not able to follow the regulative principles? Ah, Prabhupada said, you have given your vow before the deity. You have given your vow before the guru, before the sacred fire, before the assembled Vaishnavas. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, to chant at least 16 rounds. He said, there is no question. There is no question of breaking your vows. No gentleman will break his promise. And that includes ladies also. Prabhupada was very strong. There is no question. You cannot do that. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, what if one is weak?
Prabhupada said, weak? Rectify it.
That is the strength. That is the power. That was his expectation to all of us. And Srila Prabhupada taught us love means to reciprocate and make sacrifices to live up to those standards. And Srila Prabhupada said that the thing that caused him the most pain in his heart, the most anxiety, is when his leading devotees were fighting. When, due to personal agendas or personal issues or personal interpretations of things, they were in conflict with each other. Unwholesome competition, sometimes envy. Repeatedly, Srila Prabhupada said, that was the greatest danger to the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore it was what caused the greatest anxiety, transcendental anxiety to his heart. Prabhupada said, if you want to show your love for me, cooperate together. That includes every devotee. But yad yad acharati sreshtas, what leaders do, the common people will follow. If the leaders are cooperating, it's very natural for all other devotees to cooperate. If leaders have some unwholesome rivalry or dissension or disunity or cold wars, you know what a cold war is? You're not fighting, you're just not even talking. You're not looking at each other. It's not only between husband and wife. It could be between sannyasis also, or senior brahmacharis, or GVCs. It's potentially there. If the leaders are doing, then it becomes natural. That's the standard. It's the standard for everyone else. You're not doing it my way. I don't need you. Out. To work together, to live together, to serve in harmony takes a tremendous amount of love for the spiritual master. That's what it comes down to, because it's difficult. In the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there's a lot of forgiveness, a lot of tolerance, and a lot of respect that is required. But that breeds actual love. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be exemplary in our sadhana. He wanted us to be in a spirit of cooperation with one another. And he wanted us to be from our hearts. That may come a little later. It may begin with our intelligence, but he wanted us to, from our hearts, to be actually compassionate friends of every living entity. Spreading Krishna consciousness is not about becoming famous or getting good results. It's not about being in the newspapers or being on television or getting big crowds to hear you speak. It's not about 10,000 people watching you offer Janmashtami aarti on television. Preaching is about actually feeling for the suffering of others and trying to bring them to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do as he was doing, to make those sacrifices for the welfare of the Vaishnava community and for the welfare of the world at large. In other words, Srila Prabhupada so perfectly taught us by his example, by his words, how to be an illustrious follower of Sri Rupa Goswami.
And that is our prayer today. That we can follow in the footsteps of our Acharya as the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants, with complete confidence that by our sincere effort, even if we cannot do it perfectly at this time, by our sincere efforts, we will attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In this spiritual world, Rupa Goswami is Sri Rupa Manjari, confidential maidservant of Sri Lalita Sakhi, in the service of Radharani, in her eternal, transcendental pastime of giving satisfaction to Krishna. The power of bhakti is it conquers Krishna. Rupa Goswami intimately knows every aspect of the sweetest exchanges of love in the spiritual world. And in the Sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami is waiting for every single one of us to engage us in those pastimes. All we have to do is cooperate. Just leave behind these false egos. Life is so short. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, through the six Goswamis and their associates and descendants, in this one little life of just a few years, if we're simply sincere to follow as Rupanugas, we will be brought to Goloka Vrindavan. And we will be engaged in the most beautiful secrets of spiritual life. You may not understand it now. It's not a matter of intellectually understanding all the intricacies of Rupa Goswami's philosophy. If you can do it, that's very good. But if you just make those garlands with love and devotion, make those garments, do your preaching, take care of your children, take shelter of the name of Srimad Bhagavatam with a spirit of humility, and really, really sincerely try to follow Prabhupada's teachings as it is. If you just do that sincerely, then the most powerful and extraordinary of all energies will pick you up and take you back to Godhead. It is called mercy. Krishna's kripa, Radha's kripa, Gaur kripa, Nityananda's kripa, Guru kripa, Vaishnav kripa. The six Goswamis' kripa is coming down through the association of devotees in Parampara. Narottam Das Thakur said, the dust of their feet is my food. It's all I'm made of. It's my only hope. So, on this day of Sri Rupa Goswami's disappearance from the world, let us sincerely pray. That wholeheartedly, with all sincerity, we can give our lives, body, mind, words, life, to sincerely try to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and our Vaishnava Parampara. Let us pray that by our sincere efforts we can attract the mercy of the Lord to help us overcome all the obstacles that have plagued us since time immemorial, dragging us into ugly, contaminated states of mind, unruly words, inappropriate actions. Let us pray that by our sincere efforts we can attract Krishna's mercy. And that our only goal in life will be to become a dust particle at the feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath. Thank you very much.